Welcome and good afternoon, everyone, to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, June 17th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. And as usual, we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is WMATA.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through the video conferences. You can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself, or you can click on the raise hand icon to virtually raise or lower hands. Anybody who is on the phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. And if you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody should be on mute at this point. If you're able to use these tools, please do, because it helps us in knowing that somebody's trying to make some comments and we can have one speaker at a time. As you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I do request everyone to please state your name when you start making your comments, because it helps the interpreters in doing their job well. It also helps everyone knowing who the speaker is at the time for people who are listening on the phone calls. And when people listen to the meeting audio, it's also helpful for them. We also request people to briefly describe themselves when initially speaking. For instance, I am a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I have long dark hair. So with that said, I just wanted to state that any members of the public, if you'd like to make comments during the public comments section, if you're able to write a chat message to me, please do, and I will put your name on the list for public comments. Or you can raise your virtual hands when we begin our public comments sections, and we will take the members of the public in the order we receive either the names through chat messages or we see the hand raise icons. If we have any members of the AAC who would like to make comments, we will take their comments for public comments after we have taken all the members of the public during that section. And as you know, we do allot 2 to 3 minutes for each speaker. And we have this guideline to make sure that any member of the public who would like to make comments gets an opportunity to do so. So we do appreciate everybody's cooperation and staying within the time allotted. With that, Mr. Farmer, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the, oh, pardon me. I would go ahead and read the agenda for today's meeting and then take the roll call of the committee members if you concur.
Thank you, Anu.
Okay, great. Thank you. I would share my screen. So if you would bear with me for a quick moment, and then I would start reading the meeting agenda for today's. And if somebody could confirm that my screen is visible, I would appreciate that.
I see it.
Great. I see
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. So just like we said that after I finished reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. At 4:10, we will have reports for accommodations, customer service, and any outreach. At 4:15, we have the awards scheduled, which is the Michael Wilson Award and the AAC Safe Metro Access Safety Award. At 4:20, we have a topic stating Metro Access reservations, telephone line update, and Cherry and Williams Hall and or Christian Bake can provide information on that. At 4:30, we have Mr. Blake to discuss Metro Access service delivery. At 4:50, Mr. Blake will talk about Metro Access transportation options, which includes dedicated, non-dedicated, and abilities ride. At 5:10, Ms. Williams-Hall will discuss the digital assistant, Where Is My Ride, capabilities. At 5:35, we will begin the public comment section, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now, and we will begin the AAC roll call. So when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum.
Present.
Thank you. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present from Oregon.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. I believe Ms. Rush is connected on this meeting.
Yes, she is. She raised her hand.
Okay, thank you. Paul Stemmelford.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simona. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. At this point, Mr. Farmer, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you, Anu. Good afternoon, everyone. So today we're going to start with the approval of the agenda as read by Ms. Anu. Do we have any adjustments, any corrections? Hearing none. The agenda has been accepted. Next, we have the approval of last month's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting minutes. Hopefully, everyone's had a chance to review them. Do you have any corrections, adjustments, comments? Hearing none, I will accept those as approved, as given. So, first, we're going to start with Doris.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I was here because I just got in. I was having trouble dialing in, but just for the roll call.
Thank you, Doris. Anu, you've got Doris on the record?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Next, we have reports, commendations, customer service, and outreach. That will be Ms. Anderson.
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Appreciate that. My name is Allison Anderson. I am a Black middle-aged female with two-strand twist hairstyle, wearing a blue Metro Access Services shirt today. It is my pleasure to introduce, I believe, Dolan Chittums. I believe, Dolan, you're on the line, to give us our report on public comment from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittum from MTM, wearing a red shirt, long locks, and African-American. So during the AAC meeting held on May 6, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. During the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting on May 20th, 2024, there were two outstanding public comments to be addressed. The members' comments was regarding a trip they felt was improperly routed. The customer was informed that the trip would be investigated and someone would follow up with the findings. The investigations found that the trip did not exceed the fixed route equivalent. The customer was briefed on Metro Access policy for shared ride service and fixed route equivalency. During the meeting, a member asked how WMATA keeps track of when a Metro Access member passes away, to ensure that their family members do not continue to use their privileges. This question has been postponed for further investigation and results will be communicated to that member. Now moving to the accommodations. In May 2024, there were 489 accommodations. Recipients were First Transit with 84, Transav with 73, MV with 137, Challenger with 88, Next Maryland slash Virginia, 84, MTM 1, Eligibility 3, and Abilities Ride 19. This concludes my report.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chittums, for that. Insofar as the outreach, we do not have any particular outreach session to report from our last meeting. However, we do continue to hear from customers through the Office of ADA Policy and Planning, as well as other entities that we do follow up with those customers individually as we receive those reports.
But if I may add, Ms. Anderson, I did take part in a Prince George's County listening session. I forgot the name of the group, but it was well organized. This time it was at the University of Maryland, and we had a lot of participants, and I was there representing Metro Access and our service. So there was one outreach activity recently. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake, on that.
May I ask a question?
Doris, go right ahead.
My question is, I think you guys may have had a couple of complaints from a Northern Virginia consumer regarding regarding drivers not maintaining or not providing eye contact when they're communicating with deaf people. And I wonder what happened with that and whether there needs to be some additional training, or maybe you don't know about this that at this point. The person did not come to this committee, but did a write-in.
So, Ms. Anderson, is that a topic that you can address at this time, or do you need to table that for next meeting?
I would like to table those particulars to provide further details. I do remember working with Ms. Millville with that, I believe, that particular consumer. So I know that there was various conversations and whatnot with that individual, but I can't say at this time, you know, give particular details. So I would be glad to obtain those details and share at our next meeting, if you would allow.
I would appreciate that
because she copied me on what she sent to Ms. Melville.
Ms. Anderson, so we definitely look forward to hearing your feedback on that at our next meeting. You'll be able to address that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you, Doris. So anything else on your part, Ms. Anderson?
No, not as it relates to public comment and our outreach. If you're ready, we are ready, I think, to go into our Michael Wilson and AAC Safety Award.
We are indeed. That is the next thing on the agenda. You have the floor again.
Very good. This afternoon, we have our partner, Next Transportation. I think Robbie Worth, who is near and dear to our hearts, is going to be the presenter. Robbie, are you on?
He's on. I saw him.
Yep, I'm on.
All right, there's Mr. Worth, so I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Well, first I'd like to present the Michael Wilson Award for Customer Service. I might add that I knew Michael Wilson quite well. He started out Metro Access with Diamond Transportation as a driver and as a dispatcher. And so he was a great man, and it's an honor to be presenting an award in his name. The first award goes to David Smith, for the Michael Wilson Award. David was, I'm a Caucasian American in his early 71 years old, and I'm wearing a gray shirt and glasses. David Smith was born and raised in North Carolina, graduating from high school in 1982. He has been married to his high school sweetheart for 32 years. Their son recently graduated with honors from North Carolina A&T University in May. David has been employed with Diamond Transportation since May of 2017. He started this type of work because he loves helping and assisting people, considering himself a people person. David enjoys watching basketball, football, and baseball, with his favorite teams being the Lakers, the Commanders, and the Nationals. He also loves listening to jazz and old-time music. In his free time, David is a chef on the grill and loves to barbecue. He is committed to working at Diamond Transportation until retirement, which he doesn't plan to do soon. He enjoys interacting with his colleagues and clients daily. David has been an extremely safe provider with like zero incidents during his time of employ. But the interesting thing, reason why we nominated him for the Customer Service Award is that he's gotten 50 accommodations from Max customers. So when those numbers are read off by Dolan earlier, he got 50 just by himself during his tenure. And I'd like to quote one of the passengers. "The driver was amazing. He was excellent, had great customer service, and was so professional. He was efficient." So we'd like to present David. He'll be honored at our next safety meeting, and he's a great guy. Next, I'd like to present the ACC Metro Access Safety Award to Melissa Jones. Melissa is a dedicated Metro Access operator with Diamond Transportation since June 2017. She was born in Washington to Mama and Papa Jones. She graduated from high school in Prince George County in 1997 and attended the University of Maryland Eastern Shore for 1 year. Melissa is the eldest of five siblings, is married with two children, with whom she loves spending quality time. She enjoys listening to music and greatly values her job and coworkers. So Melissa has been driving. She's gotten the safety award because of her performance on DriveCam, Mobileye, and her incident frequency is extremely low. So we'd like to honor Melissa, and I'd also like to quote another customer on an accommodation that Melissa received. "The driver was on time, courteous, knowledgeable. It was a pleasant ride, and she was a pleasant person, an asset to Metro. Thank you very much." Now, neither operator is on the call today due to scheduling conflicts, but we will recognize them and give them an award plaque at our next safety meetings, respectively. Thank you.
Thank you very Robbie. Much.
Mm-hmm. That concludes our section this afternoon, Mr. Farmer.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. First, on behalf of the Metro Access Subcommittee, congratulations to both David and Melissa for their respective awards. Our next topic is a hot one right now. It is about the Metro Access Reservations Telephone Line. Do you want to introduce that, Mr. Semelford?
Yes. So I happen to do conversations with AAC members and customers over the weekend, and they gave me a good taste of, you know, what it's like. As I was listening to, you know, just to the line for about 30 minutes and still not reach someone in reservations. And I understand there are other methods to try to get information, like to text them. But the individuals that approached me told me, "What if I don't text? What if I just have a landline, or I'm not a tech savvy person to do that?" You know, it's an issue of, you know, equity for them to be able, and of course, the civil right to make a reservation. There's got to be other means than texting for them to get that done. I mean, they can sit there and wait, but And also, just as a side thing, as I'm listening to this, you know, recording and everything else, I would strongly suggest that you, management staff listens through that recording, because some of the date information is outdated in terms of the meetings. They're still announced to be at 600 Fifth Street, and we're virtual, so that can be corrected at some point by listening through it and editing that out with the updated information. That'd be appreciated, only because our members, you know, our customers do listen to this. And also the other issue that I noticed in listening to this at least 30 minutes is the announcements go from being very clear to some parts being very distorted and back to clear. So if, because we are communicating information to customers, we want to look into those two situations. But go ahead, Mr. Blake, or Ms. Williams-Hall, addressing the...
Yes. So, good afternoon, members of the AAC Metro Access Subcommittee and the public. So this is probably going to be my most difficult meeting in my time at Metro with the AAC, because, you know, y'all know I don't make excuses. I'm very firm in beliefs of certain things, but when we've just not met the standard, we've just not met the standard. And I'm not going to give an excuse, but the second topic is actually related to this very first topic. So the first topic, generally speaking, is, yes, there has been challenges with the telephone line. Some of it's been technical, but some of it's really related to the second topic that we're going to delve into tonight. What we've been trying to do, as you say, Mr. Chairman, is to mitigate the situation. And today, I think we made a little bit of improvements, and we're going to get back to normal very, very soon. But what we're experiencing right now, some technical issues dealing with just the sheer amount of calls that are coming in the whole time, that then creates other problems. Well, why are there long hold times? Well, there are long hold times because there's a challenge for a lot of individuals right now. One of the things on the second topic that we're going to talk about is who are going to be the new Metro Access contractors moving forward. And when it comes to the Operations Control Center, we call it the call center, some may call it the OCC, there's been a change. And it has been emotional, and it's been a challenge. And one of the things my wife has always accused me of is not having compassion or enough compassion. And through this process, as I always say, and Ms. Rush always reminds me, I like to say, I'm a businessman. And I'm all about business. And we got to keep the business moving. And believe me, we're doing that. And I'll tell you some of the things we're doing as individuals, but also as a team. But I haven't been as hard or challenging to certain people, because I did recognize the emotions and the feelings that people are having right now. And what's happened is that after 18 years, nearly two decades, the Operations Control Center will be managed by Transdev Corporation. MV Transportation, which many of you are familiar with and have been a part of, and you've been to the call center as they've managed it, you've met their team members, they're no longer going to be part of the Metro Access community. And I'm not just talking about the management team, a lot of just the rank and file members of the team feel that there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of challenges. Change is difficult. And I've spoken to some of them. I said, nothing's going to change for you. But then as I was talking to one young lady there, has two children, unsure what's going to happen, no matter how much I can try to assure things, you know, they're concerned about feeding their children. They're concerned about a lot of things. And again, I could just be hard and slam the company and slam the management and do all that. That's not going to change anything, because people are concerned. And in this time of change, and we'll talk again, we'll talk about more of change coming up in the second issue. What we thought would be, instead of a prolonged change that would have perhaps some of you experiencing what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks for a matter of 2 or 3 months, we thought we can have a very well organized and very smooth but fast transition. The second part is happening. The transition is taking place. Come July 1st, Transdev is going to be established. They're going to be running the call center. Some of the things we tried to avoid, it seems like we have not been able to avoid, but now we're putting some things in place that will make up for what you've been experiencing. And you know, over the years, we've talked about the call center. And again, I have no excuses. We've talked about the call center. Generally speaking, we've been moving forward. You book your trips, we all move forward. These last 2 weeks have been very difficult, but I can assure you the Metro Access team, and as well as the current employees there, we've all stepped up to the plate, and we're trying our very best. Some of the things we're trying to do to mitigate the challenges that are now facing until we can kind of clear the phone lines, and that's kind of what we're really working towards. As you mentioned, Mr. Chairman, well, we have the digital assistant. You call in. Let's try allowing the digital assistant to book each of your trip one at a time. Just try it. If the digital assistant doesn't work for you, we understand that. But we do encourage you to try it. That saves a lot of time for a lot of people. And what that then does is help clear the phone lines. If the digital assistant doesn't work, we do ask you, yes, please send a text message. And if you cannot send a text message, perhaps a family member, a son, a daughter, friend can send a text message. All we need is the information for your trips. We will book your trips. That, again, helps clear the phone lines. We've asked, now you'll hear a third potential effort that we're really going to do to try to clear the lines, where someone's going to pick up the phone, but may not book your trip in the traditional sense, but take down your trip information. Again, we're going to get the information from you, pick up time, pick up date, pick up address, drop off address, and any notes that you want to put in your reservation. That's going to be a third way, where we still get the information from you, but we're trying to clear the phone lines and calm everyone kind of down. So I know there's a lot of communication out there. I don't know if we want to wait till the end to have public comments. I would say let the public speak, let the members speak. I'm not going to give you a lot of excuses. I'm not going to give you, because there are no excuses. We're doing what we can to get that phone piece of the reservation process back to normal as quickly as possible. I've been booking trips all weekend. Some of you communicated with me, and other customers have communicated directly with me. Other members of the team have been booking trips as well as employees of the call center upscale. I have to turn out that that's a customer. That's a trip right there. And I'm going to book the trip in a few minutes when we probably get off this meeting now. We're doing what we have to do to try to get it back to normal. You're not going to hear any excuses from us. We don't want to wait till July 1st for it to be back to normal. Trust me on that. We're going to get this back turned around by this week, I assure you. But again, I would just say, yes, I'm a businessman. I recognize that we've got a business to run, and I'm certainly focused on that. But this has been a challenging and emotional time for a lot of people involved. I'm trying to give people their space, but at the same time, myself, even though they're not my employees per se, and the management team of MV have all been stressing to everybody, management, rank and file, that yes, this is an emotional time. It's a sensitive time. For some people, they feel it's an uncertain time, but they still have a very, very important role to serve a particular part of our community, and that's the Metro Access customer base who need their transportation and we need their commitment to be a part of this. So all I can say is we do apologize for the inconvenience. We're working like cats and dogs to mitigate it. And we're just going to continue to do what we have to do to get this back to normal so that by the next meeting, and I'm not talking about the next AAC meeting, but the next time we all get together, before the end of this month, we're going to get this back to normal and we can talk about other things moving forward as we normally would do. But on this particular topic, you know, again, I'm open for any questions. We're open for the feedback. I know there's a lot of energy out there, but as I tell every customer when I pick up the phone, I understand. Trust me, I understand, but that's why I'm calling you personally. We're going to take care of this. But without further ado, let's go ahead and answer any questions you have, Mr. Chairman, or members of the committee have.
So, Mr. Farmer, I'm going to help you out since I see the hands with the order of people. Is that okay with you, Mr. Farmer? To give you some assistance, because there's a lot of hands up.
We'll let that portion go through. So,
all right. I mean, we'll adjust the agenda as needed, because this is an important topic and we want to hear every voice, because this is a critical issue for everybody to be able to get and make a reservation. So the only question I have, Mr. Blake, is there a way, a possibility people can, if they are able to get a friend who maybe is tech savvy, email their reservations information at an email address so that can get done, you know, as another avenue, or any other type of avenue beyond texting to try to get or will same day reservations be? Well, I don't know if you want to consider that because of the complexity of this, but and the constraints on service.
Yes. So first, email is a great idea. I'll put my email address in the chat box. Yes, cblake@wmata.com. But I'll put that in the box for official. So yes, you have a trip. All we need is your name, your ID number, the pickup date, pickup time, pickup address, and drop-off address. That's all we needed for each trip.
All right, so first person I saw...
And before you go on, let me just say this. I'm going to put that in the chat. We actually have been running same day service for over a week now. Now, the only challenge with it is, of course, the issue is getting through the line to begin with. But anybody who's been able to contact me or contact the SMS, if they needed a trip booked today, if they needed one Sunday morning before I went to church, I booked several same day trips, saw some more after that afternoon. But yes, we've been running same day service as yet another way to try to mitigate the impact to the customers who had difficulty getting through the phone lines the night before.
Is there any way you can do like a telephone blast, if that's feasible to people, let them know that there's an email option so maybe them or a friend can help them access it so they can make a reservation? And then I'll go to Vanessa first, followed by Ms. Rush.
I won't say, how about this? I won't say an email, a phone blast. I would say it would be added to one of the existing messages on the IVR. So
okay.
Yes. So we'll say we'll edit the message that talks about the text message option to say text or email and or email.
Okay.
Yeah. Before you begin, Paul, before you begin. So, Mr. Blake, first, we appreciate what you're doing and your department. We want to say that if setting up trips, when this issue is resolved, at least in the immediate future, we will be returning to the standard. Metro will return to the standard. Meet trips have to be booked. Like if I book a trip, even if there's issues with the system, for me, I text it. The goal is to text before 4:30. We would do the same thing if we were booking a trip for tomorrow. That trip would have to be in the previous day. Yes, there have been exceptions under the conditions that we're in right now. Right. But do you would still prefer those standards to be adhered to in an ideal situation?
Ideally, yes. Once we get back to normal, we would probably begin messaging out to individual customers who we see maybe sending text messages after 4:30. But yes, right now we've received texts. I think I won't call her name. She might be on here. I think she texted me at 3:30 this morning, then followed up with a call.
Audio now unmuted.
I got up and took it, but I'm like, okay now. But we booked her trip for today, and it was fine. But yes, once we get back to normal, which again, will be, we're determined will be before July 1st, and the transition between the two contractors, once we get back to normal, ideally, if you choose to send a text message, it should be done before 4:30.
Thank you very much, Paul.
All right. First is Vanessa, followed by Denise.
Audio now unmuted. Mute. Okay, invite.
Thank you. My name is Vanessa. I am an African-American middle-aged woman. I have on a t-shirt today. So, Mr. Blake, thank you for that information. My question and concern is, for the last couple of months, I've been asking for a tutorial on how to use the web base so that people can do their own reservation. Is there a problem with that? Because I have some people that are coming to me that's trying it. They're getting a little frustrated trying to figure out how to go through it. So how hard would it be for tech to do a tutorial so people can put in their own trips?
Oh, the tutorial idea, I think, is a great idea. We're not opposed to that. In fact, you know, through this process, those who have been web booking, to my knowledge, there's been no issues. Those, and certainly those who have subscription trips, there have been no issues there. So, no, we want customers to use web booking to the greatest extent possible. If you're asking about individual training, or you're saying group training, or you want a web-based training, we're open to all of the above. But what specifically are you asking us to consider?
Just the process itself, individual. So I have a subscription, so I don't worry with doing that. That's already established. But I'm getting feedback, and you may hear that from some consumers about trying to log into the web base and booking their own trips. So,
okay, let me find out if that's a, I don't think that comes under our travel training team. I think the Metro Access team would do that, but let me just figure out who. I see Allison has her hand up.
Yeah, she has her hand up. And I was going to jump in, since I'm a person, like I mentioned, I think at the last meeting, that exclusively uses it, I will be willing to volunteer my services to either help, you know, create a video or train, since I've been doing it exclusively and it works well for me. And I can do step-by-step training if that's needed to assist.
We would love to have something like that set up. So maybe we can get one of our sessions, not within the committee's time frame, but maybe on that fourth Monday, we can set up something live or a recording, as Paul just stated. Paul, let's go to our next person. Is that Ms. Rush?
It's Ms. Rush, but Ms. Anderson wants to say something.
Ms. Anderson.
Yes, thank you. So we do have a tutorial that is online for those that choose to want to try doing web booking. One of the things, though, is that the person would need to get in touch with Elledge insofar as to provide an email address and set up a password. So, but once they have that, there is a tutorial online that will step
Alert.
Customers
Audio
through
now unmuted.
How Please. To do web booking.
Mute.
But,
and Ms. Anderson, for clarification, which office would a person need to reach out to so they can get established with online access?
That would be with a password. I don't know if we have anybody from our Elledge group on this evening, but
usually
I believe it's they could assist with that email and the password.
Okay. So if that is the eligibility, right?
Mr. Correct. Johnson is on here. Is he available to speak?
Mr. Johnson?
Because I see him on.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. I hate to put you on the spot, Mr. Johnson.
Am I correct, Antoine, or do I need to dial back?
You are.
Not a problem. We are able to assist to a certain extent, but we can definitely put their email address on their account, and we can assist with enrolling. It's like 8 questions.
Fantastic. And your main number, if a person needs to dial in,
202-962. 2700. 202-962-2700.
Okay, I'll assume option 5. That's what I like the best.
Option 5. That is correct. Sorry about that.
All right.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Rush, you're next, followed by Janice Samuel.
This is, excuse me, this is Ms. Rush. I have a little congestion, but I understand that we have a problem and we must be patient with the telephone issue of making a reservation. What I do not, and I keep getting the same question, and I don't have an answer because I don't understand it, is why does it send you to 600 Fifth Street, and we haven't been at 600 Fifth Street for how many years? I don't understand why even before we had a telephone problem, is this information being passed out? Why can't it be, when we moved from 600 Fifth Street, why wasn't it corrected then? Now, years later, a person who doesn't, who has been approved recently within those years is directed to 600 Fifth Street. I cannot understand it. I do not understand why that information is loud and clear and repeated and repeated while you're trying to make a reservation. If you want to attend it, come on down. And the information is bogus.
Yeah, so I mentioned that previously.
Well, and Mr. Summerford brought that to my attention. I made a note. I'll just say I wasn't aware it was on there. Now that's I'll take the hit for that. I've been told there were 4 specific IVR messages, none of them related to AAC meetings, and certainly none of them related to the address.
Not just the AAC, but the Metro, all the meetings.
I got you. I'm not saying right. So
Mr. Blake, you will make the correction.
Yes, I've heard. I wasn't aware. I was aware of 4 messages on the IVR. This is new information to me. I will check it out, and I will get it done.
Thank you very much. Right. Anything else, Ms. Rush?
There's a lot, but I'm going. You know, I've had my time for now because this stuff is deep. Thank you.
Ms. Rush.
Next is Janice Samuel, followed by Doris Ray. And this is on this topic of reservations here.
Yes, yes, it is. I appreciate Mr. Blake's sensitivity, and I understand that there's going to be a transition from one contractor to another on July 1st. But what I still don't understand is, so why are we experiencing this difficulty? That's one thing. And are there less people, actual people working because of the upcoming transportation? And I'm hearing that same day reservations are being taken as of this past week, but that's not being relayed in the outgoing message. And another question is if tutorials are available, why do we need a password to access it? Why isn't it just a link on the page?
Let me take the third one first. You don't need a password to access the tutorial. You need a password, my understanding, for your account in order to actually walk through the tutorial and experience it firsthand, because you have to be able to get into your account to actually book the trip. So you need a password to be able to access web booking, not to simply look at the tutorial.
Okay, so then why can't the tutorial just be on the web page, on the WMATA web page?
Well, I thought that's where it's at.
It is. Okay.
It is. So if you go to the Metro Access.
That wasn't clear to me. So there's two different things. The tutorial is on the web page. Anyone Correct. Can access it. Correct. But if you want to access it through your account, you'll need a password. Understood.
Correct. Yes. So now let's go to your first question. There are fewer employees, but yes, because there's been some difficulties in communication, I would just put it that way. There is some uncertainty among the employees. So while there's not fewer employees, yes, some have had to take the option. They feel they've had to take the option that's best for them to utilize certain benefits that they have because there's been confusion as to whether or not some benefits will carry on with them. Some benefits will be, provided to them upon one transition to another. So yes, when we had the technical difficulties with the phone lines, which had been going on for a bit and we've been working on those, you really didn't have a negative experience because we still had a certain number of people in the room as well as the digital assistant. When the digital assistant began to have a few rocky days, that became an option that wasn't available at the time, but the digital assistant is back and running smoothly and is booking several trips a day. So yes, there are still the same number of employees. They're going to be with this team, either if the numbers, I won't say every single individual, that's an individual decision, but there have been some actions because folks want to make sure that they take care of themselves. And that's where myself and other members of the management team and other members of the team in general have stepped up to try to the greatest extent possible, mitigate the experience. And as far as the same day bookings, again, back to Ms. Rush's point about the IVR, maybe I need to listen to it more, but I'll admit I've been overwhelmed and the IVR has not been my area over the last several years of focus, but maybe I need to pay more attention to it. But it's my understanding, and I directed that we had an IVR message that said to customers, same day bookings are in fact allowed. So if it's not on there, we'll get it on there. But yes, we have been providing many same day bookings. So some customers have been aware because they've been calling me directly. And as soon as they call me, I go in and book the trips for them. No questions asked. Customer this morning, like I said, 3 a.m. She wanted a same day trip, got out of bed. I booked the trip for her, but I asked her, please don't call me that early again for a 12 p.m. trip.
Right. But that's different than us all knowing. They're just asking, but we don't know it. And you said, you and others who don't normally book trips have been booking them to clear the backlog. So why is it? Is the system being utilized to its capacity, or do we have an influx of callers, or why?
Well, yes, because what happens is what happens with a lot of customers, even in normal times, if you're on hold for a little while, what do you end up doing? You often call back. Other customers, we've said you've left the text message, you've given us your trip ID. You've given us your trip details, but you still call because you haven't heard anything immediately. So even when we're doing the pieces that would normally clear the phone lines, just repeated calls just creates more of a backlog as opposed to our efforts just to clear the backlog. Again, there's no conspiracy. There's no...
No, and I understand. Right. I'm sorry, Mr. Blake. I'm an error.
All right,
Ms. Samuels.
We do need to get to a lot of people.
Well, let her get her last question. We don't need to rush on this. We've got all night. Let her get her last question.
Yeah, one quick. So I understand that you know people call in, blah blah blah, repeatedly, and that jams things. But just initially, why are we having these long? I mean, I'm patient. I just call and I'll just hang on. I've hung on for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Why is that happening now? I mean, did something happen with the tornadoes that came through?
I just explained. We have the same number of employees. Folks are utilizing benefits they have because There is, to some extent, among some people, uncertainty. So if you have more people calling but fewer people answering, and
oh,
then
okay. Now I hear what you're saying. Okay, yes. You're saying the same number of people are working, but they're using benefits and maybe taking leave or something to that nature.
Exactly. And okay. What I was saying, Ms. Samuel, if I'm not mistaken, you've texted me before, correct?
Yeah, not during this episode,
no,
but I have in the past.
No, but I'm using this as an example.
Yes.
Instead of you, see, as a person who can text, and this is what we're asking customers, instead of you holding on the line for 30 or 40 minutes, if you call and you don't get a pickup right away and you don't care to use the digital assistant, which is absolutely right, what we would ask is you would text the general number, or you could text me directly your information. We'll book it, as these other customers are doing right this moment. We'll get your trip booked. That clears the line for a customer who can't use the digital assistant or text, or as Mr. Simmelford has recommended, emails. If we can get those who can utilize these other tools just for this short period of time, that will in fact clear the lines to a certain extent and help us get back to normal for everybody.
Understood. I personally don't text you unless it's an emergency that I feel. Otherwise, you know, I can wait. If I feel it's an emergency, then I'll reach out to you. That's just me personally.
I understand. And I appreciate that. But mm-hmm. Let's treat this period, this period as an emergency.
Thank you, Ms. Samuel. All right, so going forward, Manu's going to have the timer for each speaker to 2 minutes so that we can give everyone the opportunity to equally speak, and we value and cherish your comments to help make a better service. Ms. Williams-Halls, did you have a comment before we go next to Thomas? I'll take him, and then we'll go to Doris.
Absolutely. Briefly, I just wanted to share that because we've done such a phenomenal job over the years of providing you all with such great service, you normally would not hear the messages that you're hearing now. Those messages are buried so deep down in the IVR that you would never hear them, except that the whole time is what it is right now. So we absolutely have a need to go back and update them, remove them, make sure only timely messages are there. But our focus to date has been on keeping the most accurate, up-to-date information up front in that first couple of seconds that you're on the line. Traditionally, mm-hmm. you would never be on the phone that long to hear the messages. It's just now that we're finding out that they're still there because of the elongated hold times. So I just want to let everybody know, not an excuse, but that's what's happening.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hall.
Thomas, and then Doris.
Doris.
Go ahead, Thomas.
This is not a comment. It's two questions.
Oh, okay.
It's two questions to
all
clarify.
Right. I'll take, since Doris went first, go ahead, Doris, with your two questions, and then Thomas, we go next with you.
Okay.
And then everyone else.
So my question is, because I'm not a regular Metro Access user, at least not quite yet, but I will be soon. My question is, do I understand that you're suspending the ability to call in and make a reservation and or do a where's my ride call for a period of time? And is that the result of the transition to a new contractor, or is it, because I think I'm hearing it's also an issue regarding the phone system and having to correct something? That's number one. And then number two, I'm hearing people say they wait on the line a long time, and it's sounding like it is one, to make a reservation, but also two, possibly when they call in with where's my ride. So my question is, if you're going to put in new equipment or whatever for calls, how long will the ability to make a call be offline? And because I'm asking this, because this is an ADA paratransit performance standard for how long you're supposed to be online. But the second question is this: have you ever looked at this technology, like my management company for my condo fees? When I call them, if I wait for a certain amount of time, they will say, give us your telephone number, push it in, and we'll call you back.
We got a lot of people to get to.
Right. So a couple of things, and I got to just be very, very clear. I'm not sure where you heard the word suspension, but nothing has been suspended, especially the ability to call in. So we need to move away from any such language. You didn't hear that tonight, and you'll never hear that from Metro Access. No method of communicating one's travel request has been suspended. What we've done is add more methods that people can call, can submit their travel requests in addition to calling. So please, let's just be extremely clear in what we're saying. No one used the word suspended. No one used the word suspension. Nothing's been suspended. What we have said
is that so we'll still be able to call a reservation in.
They're calling every day. Yes, today thousands of people call to book trips for tomorrow. Yes.
Okay, that's why I wanted you to clarify.
And then the second piece,
whatever it is that's backing things up, Would it be relevant to have, if you can't stay online, we'll call you back?
Remember, if you recall, Doris, well, you may not, because like you said, you're not a Metro Access customer yet, but we welcome you when you're ready. We did try that technology a few years ago, but the customers did not really take to it. It wasn't really that popular. So instead of having an automated system ask you for your phone number or ask you to consider leaving your number, what we're doing now is having humans take down your trip information, and then we will contact you once the trip has been confirmed. But instead of just saying, please give us your number, and then we'll call you back, although you could do that on the SMS if you wish, we're asking for your trip information so that the next time you hear from us, it's a confirmation of your trip, not just the beginning of the tripping process.
All right. Mr. Blake, before we continue, anyone who has questions, comments coming up, there is a limited time frame. We have a number of people. We are set to 2 minutes per person. Please be concise with your question. Know what you want to ask. Ask your question. Allow the Metro representative the opportunity to respond. Thomas. Right,
Thomas, you're next. And then I'm going to take Sister William Smith after Thomas.
Okay. Yes, this is Thomas. I'm talking about the automated thing because, like, when I call and hook on to take my reservation, it only set up to take one trip or two trips. And I have multiple trips because y'all know I'm on various different committees or what have you. So I could be going to like three different places in one day. So it's only set up to basically take your trip from your place and take you back home or take you to another place and that's it. I can't really set it up for multiple trips. So that's the reason why I don't use it really. And also, when it comes to the texting, some of my friends or some of the people that represent in the disability community, they spell out their trip. That they're not able to really tell you the street name or the business, but they might have it written down. And they spell it out. So how would that work when it comes to texting? And some of y'all have been talking like texting is easy because like you get somebody else to help you. A lot of us don't have that help, to put in a reservation like that. So that's really why some people just go to a person. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Thomas. All right.
Thomas makes a great point. We're going to respond. I mean, he makes a great point. I do understand what he's saying about the digital assistant. I would just say, and that's why under normal circumstances, yes, Thomas should wait for a live agent. Under these challenges we've had the last couple of weeks, and again, they'll be coming to an end very soon. You may want to consider, yeah, just book those first two trips with a digital assistant. Maybe call back right then, or call back a few minutes later or a little while later and book the other two or three that you would have that day, because that likely, at least for the next couple of days, will likely be faster than waiting for the one agent. That's just a thought. And believe me, Thomas, as much as I believe in text messaging as one of the most accessible means to provide access for all types of disabilities, but particularly people with visual disabilities, you won't hear me sell it as the end-all be-all for everybody. So yes, what we're saying is those who can use the digital assistant, please try it. Those who can use texting, please try it. Those who can use web booking, absolutely, please try it. And those who can, as we're going to do, send an email, please do. If we can get people who can use these other tools, not forcing it, but if we can get them to use these other tools, then for those people who cannot text, cannot use web booking, cannot do anything except, be assisted by a live agent for booking their trips, the lines will be much clearer for those individuals. That's all we're saying for this short period of time. But absolutely, SMS texting is not the end-all be-all, but it is a great tool to improving accessibility. But we will never try to force one size or one solution on all of our diverse customers.
All right. Thank you. Sister Wilma Smith, followed by Philippa, and then Libra Robertson.
I'm Mrs. Wilma Smith, and I identify myself that way because I use this Zoom, this phone is in my Christian meeting. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Blake, first of all, before I say anything, will you please say your email again? Because
I'm going to put it in the or no, if you could put it in the chat for me, because I'm using the big screen here. But my email address for Christian Blake is cblake@wmata.com.
Mr. Blake, first of all, let me say to all of you, thank you so much for the privilege, the pleasure, and opportunity of being able to use Metro Access. And Mr. Blake, if you had kept talking, I would have been crying through this whole entire time trying to get something out, get my words out. Mr. Blake, I appreciate you. You have said everything from the time you talked up until now that was on my heart and my soul and on my mind. You have been so amazing. Oh my God, if I could just had a recording of this. But let me just say, I thank God for you, Mr. Blake. I hear you, and I finally got on the meeting in time today. I was determined I was going to get on this meeting. But, you know, I don't have to say anything except for what I experienced real briefly this morning. And the driver is concerned that he may be terminated for doing the right thing. And I know you know what's going on, because based on everything you've said, Mr. Blake, I appreciate you. Words will never be able to explain how you have been a blessing to me. What I experienced, I'm making extremely brief, is that I passed my stop while I was on the vehicle going to take somebody else in Capitol Heights. And I'm passing the building I was going to. He was afraid. And he said, I may lose my job and get fired. I said, sir, I got your back. I said, I'm going to speak on your behalf because I don't want to see anything happen to you. You mentioned a lot of words in your statement today, Mr. Blake, that really touched my heart. Compassion, emotion. But you're a man. You're a no-nonsense person. You believe in business when it's time for business and you get the job done. That's wonderful. But the driver was afraid to turn around and dropped me off, and I just passed the building. And I looked up and I said, wait a minute, sir, that's my building right there. And what is happening? He was going to take this person that was on the vehicle with me when I got on, take her to Capitol Heights, and then come back and pick up somebody in Oxon Hill, then drop me off. And I had an appointment time of 10:45, and it was about 10:05 at that time. So which means I would have gotten there after 11. But what I did, I said, please, just take a trust. I said, just have the positive attitude.
Thank you. Please, we do have other customers. Thank you so much,
Mr. Blake, for how you explained everything.
Thank you, Ms. Smith.
And as we go on, customers, please just relate it to this topic of Metro Access reservations so we can get to work through this. But I do appreciate everyone's comments.
Can you hear me?
Who's it?
So
this
we
is,
have,
this is our freedom of they can't hear me, I guess.
We have a list that we're working through. The next person on the list, if you want to be put on the list for comment, what's your name, and we'll add you to that list.
All right.
That's
Philippa?
What I was trying to do because I logged in late. My name is Alfreda McKinley.
All right, so Philippa, all right, thank you. Philippa, you're next, followed by Libra Robinson as it relates to this topic of the Metro Access reservations phone line.
Okay, all right. Yes, I just wanted to well, first of all, good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to say I feel badly for everyone in the situation, the people who are trying to make it work, and, of course, those of us who need to use it. Mr. Blake, I was in touch with you a couple of times. I try to use you as the very last option. But there was a number on there when you call in, it tells you to text it and text your phone number, and they'll call you back. And that doesn't seem to work, so I'm trying to figure out, is that still a viable option? It didn't even take me to the digital. It just, I was on hold. I think the last time I texted you, they finally answered before I really had to get you to intervene. But I texted that number and there was never a call back from the day before because I was trying for 2 or 3 days to get the booking. So just wondering if that text number does work, if they will indeed call you back if you text your phone number to them.
Yes, ma'am. That number is a good number, and it has, I don't want to say suffered, but it has had the impact, and it's been impacted again by the same situation. So what I try to do is back that up as well and respond to as many of them as possible. You always know I'm the one responding if it says greetings. I'm generally, that's kind of my little differentiation of my responses. So I'm trying to back them up. I'm responding to the text messages that are coming directly to me, the phone calls. We're stepping up to the plate, but again, this is going to be resolved very soon. So don't lose that text number. That has been very helpful for a lot of customers prior to this and a way to not be on hold for 3 minutes, as like Ms. Williams Hall was saying, because generally the whole times you're experiencing now, we've never seen those. But there used to be sometimes every once in a while a 2 or 3 minute hold, and we would use that text number, and customers would help avoid that. So yes, keep that number. We're backing it up. We're going to get through it, and we clear it out as much as we can every night, and we book those trips for the next
day. And do have patience with the text number. Sometimes they do respond fairly quickly, and sometimes because they're taking the load of both reservations and where's my ride inquiries about when's my vehicle going to ride or need to cancel trips. This is a new piece of technology, so I know the management and the call center staff is trying to work this so that customers, needs a service. So do give us some patience. It may take a while. Right. But
you're talking on my time. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
That bell will ring. Yeah, I was just going to say also I was not even offered the option on the last call of the digital, because I think it would have been easy to book that ride on the digital. So I was just letting you know.
We ended up with some challenges just on the digital, but the digital came back on Saturday afternoon and has been taking as many calls as it possibly customers will allow it to take. So, yeah, there was a period of days where we had to give it a break for a second to catch up with certain things because it got overwhelmed. But we're back to normal. All those are fixed. And the digital assistant is ready, as Thomas Mangrum stated, to book two trips at a time. And it'll be there for those relatively easy, simple, but even some more complicated trips. But yeah, try it out if you can, okay. At least right now.
I would check on that with the digital assistant, because the person who had me listen to reservations for over 30 minutes, it even kicked into that. So I will just check that. Just, I know it's a, that was on Saturday. I was listening for 30 minutes and I didn't hear the digital assistant kick in. So I'm
just saying that. I think he came back at around 2:40 PM. But we're going to work on it. Yeah,
That was my experience too, Paul. That was my same experience the same day.
Because the committee member had me sit and listen through that. So, Libra, you're next.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. First, I just want to say I thank you, Mr. Blake, for your patience and everything that you've done and speaking above board. I love the fact that we have different options to be able to book our reservations. I was one that was a call-in. And then the text by Ryan was fabulous, but I was never a web booker. And I had to learn how to do the web booking, which is now a viable option for me. But my question to you is, now I know you have received a lot of calls, but last Wednesday, I won the lottery. And I was able to get an Uber ride, right? Not the real lottery, but the Uber ride lottery. Okay. So I won the lottery. So I was very excited. And on my way to go to my appointment, the link wouldn't click. Now, I'm a blind, a visually impaired person. So I use on my phone VoiceOver, right? So I had to get to work. So I had to get a sighted person to hit the link, because I know sometimes links don't work with the VoiceOver. Right. So I said, oh, wow. But when I was at my appointment, even a sighted person couldn't hit the link. So I called you. I know you got a lot of calls, but I was one last Wednesday, Libra Robinson. And you were gracious enough to just send my Uber ride to me to pick me up within 6 minutes and so on. So my question is the fact that a person is using VoiceOver cannot use the link, or is this because of what's going on with the system? Because this is my first time getting to win the lottery.
Okay, so Ms. Robinson, thank you for your testimony. I'm always here to serve. Just give me a call. Now, this is the first time, and we've been doing this for 5 years. I'm not denying it, because you, like you said, you did call me and ask me to schedule a trip. That is an Uber-related issue. It has nothing to do with the phone issues we're talking about right now. Now, I don't know if he's on... I've always relied on people like Patrick Sheehan, Ansel Torres, Tawan Farmer to help educate me on their actual, and others. When you start calling names, you leave a name out, and that's how you get in trouble in this world. But what I would say is, let me follow up with you, figure out what's going on, and then I'll reach out to each of them and some other stakeholders who I rely on for visual disability consulting, if you will, because I know they have been using Ubers for years now. Are they using VoiceOver? I thought so, but I'm not sure. And I would need to follow up with that. But that's a new one on me. Not doubting it. We're going to figure out what's going on and what maybe you can do with your... Now, by the way, are you on iPhone or Android?
I'm actually an iPhone user, and I also teach assistive technology through Columbia Lighthouse and the DC Center. So I'm well versed on how to use it very, very clearly. So that's why I didn't know if it was a problem or what. I didn't know.
No, we gotta check that out. Let's figure out what's going on. So you haven't won the lottery since?
I have never won the lottery, and I was so happy I won the lottery. Okay. Oh my God.
This is what I'm going to do for you. And I don't want to put anybody's doubts in terms of real lotteries in place, but we're going to figure out a way to help you win the lottery. If I can do that for the big one, that would be something. I'll figure out a way to help you win the lottery, and maybe we'll just walk through the process together. But in the meantime, I'll still reach out to find out if anybody else is using VoiceOver as well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mr. Blake, this is Vanessa. If I can interrupt briefly, we all are having that same problem. It's hit or miss.
It really is. So when did this start? When did this happen with you?
It's always been there. You either have to log out and go back into your messaging, but we all are having that issue. I don't know if it depends on how they send it. One of my trip may be accessible. The return trip I can get. I can't get the first one. So I'm always calling for assistance. Thank you.
Mr. Blake. Mr. Blake. Thank you, Ms. Coleman. Mr. Blake, so we can definitely have that discussion offline. I can give you a very clear depiction of what Ms. Robinson and Ms. Coles are describing. Who's our next person?
So,
We gotta talk about that. Yeah.
So, what I would like to do, if there's no other comments, the big one I want to move to, because we don't have an August meeting, I would like Ms. Terry Ann Williams Hall to present some of the other possible options with digital assistant if she's ready.
Well, before we get there, don't we have a July meeting?
Yeah, but that's just July. I don't want to be sprung up on anyone with the digital assistant, some of the things that you're testing. That way people begin to hear about what are other options it's going to present. And I'm thinking that's what she's presenting today.
Well, before we get to that, though, so again, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. But let's get to the second topic on the agenda, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, because that relates to what we're just talking about. And that's, I think you want to know that for the last several years, there were four companies that were providing service.
Oh, that's right. The people who are going to be providing street service and everything. Yeah, that's important for everyone to know. Go right ahead. I'm sorry. I was trying to see which was and working with Mr. Farmer. I'm sorry if I put you out to the curb, Mr. Farmer. Which are hot things that we may need to come back to next month, and we need to start at least mentioning to customers that are aware. Knowing who our service providers is probably one of the highest things on the list behind reservations. So go ahead.
That is correct. So we talked about the reservation transition. Over the last several years, you've had four different companies providing your actual service delivery. That's the transportation in the Metro Access branded vans and sedans and now minivans. Well, that too is going to be a significant change. We had the four companies, Transdev, who's now going to be running the call center. You had Challenger Transportation, and you had National Express. Well, following the procurement process, National Express has been awarded 100% of the service. So they're going to be the sole provider of the van and minivan and sedan service. Now, for the first 3 months, Challenger is still going to be involved. Their contract has been extended for a brief period of time, just in an effort for us to be assured that, again, in our efforts to be a smooth transition for all parties involved, but also to make sure there are enough wheels on the street on day one, which is July 1st, that the 90% and above service that you all have become used to over the many years will continue. So that's going to be another change. And you heard Robbie Worth on earlier, and many of you are familiar with Robbie, as he's been part of the Metro Access family, if you want to use that terminology, for many, many years, decades even. And now it's the company that he's a part of, National Express, is going to be your sole Metro Access service delivery provider. And last month, we did talk about non-dedicated service, and we did talk about the alternatives with Uber and the taxis that you've been used to. And now we'll be adding some more van services, and we'll get more specific about that as we move forward, probably in that July meeting. But I do want you to know that just like the call center has had a significant change, the service delivery is going through a similar dramatic change in terms of four different companies down to one.
All right, committee members. Oh, go ahead, Tuan. I guess so. Go ahead, Tuan.
So, first, thank you, Mr. Blake. Now, do we have questions on that topic? 2 minutes only. Not topic specifically, dedicated and non-dedicated and abilities ride, as Mr. Blake just addressed.
Mr. Farmer, this is Anu. Vanessa has her hand up. So Vanessa, when you start speaking, I will turn the timer for 2 minutes.
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Okay. Alert.
Thank you. Mr. Blake, to be clear, there are going to be no more separate independent companies for DC, Maryland, nor Virginia. Everyone will be coming from the same queue or pool.
That is correct. Yeah, they're not all coming from the same base, obviously, but yes, you're right. There won't be the individual companies and how we had it kind of divided based on where they were located. It's all going to be one company, National Express. So everybody who, have a commendation for an operator or a complaint or somebody did a good thing or you're concerned about something, there's only one company that would have probably been involved at least after the first 3 months of the next fiscal year, and that will be National Express.
Now, will they be centrally located base, or do they have, you know, multiple mini sub bases, or how is that working out? It's just one central location where all the vehicles are coming at.
Right. No, because this service area is so vast and wide, they're going to use multiple bases. They currently have a base in Virginia, so they're going to continue to work out of Virginia. That's in Lorton. Then they have two bases in Prince George's County, one on Central Avenue and one on Hubbard Road that they'll eventually be working out of. And that's going to be their launch points for service. So Hubbard Road, you're probably going up north to northern Prince George's County and Montgomery mm-hmm. County trips, Virginia, obviously the Virginia trips, and then the Central Avenue, the southern parts of Prince George's County, and all three bases will do some work in and out of Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Thank you. Anu, do we have anybody else for a question on this topic, specific to dedicated, non-dedicated, and abilities ride?
This is Anu, Mr. Farmer. I do not see any additional hands up. Now, did you want to take members of the public at this point, or did you want to just take the AAC members?
Let's hold public until the 5:35 time frame.
Okay.
Okay, so anyone who part of the public who has questions on that, you'll have your opportunity very shortly.
Yep, any members of the public who would like to make comments during the public comment section, either please send a chat message or raise your virtual hands at the time we begin public comment section. Thank you. Mr. Farmer.
So let's go to, since we have the digital assistant topic, and that has been valid in our conversation today, that's Ms. Hall. Discussion on that topic for the digital assistant, where it's going, how it's transitioning,
and its expanded capabilities?
Mm-hmm.
Possible. I'll let you toot your horn.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I am Terrian Williams Hall, director for Metro Access. I'm an African American middle aged woman with highlighted long hair. And I'm wearing glasses and a teal silk blouse. To that end, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up for our digital assistant. Like our reservations line, we hope soon to offer similar support for Where's My Ride calls later this summer. We plan to offer ride status calls where a customer can call in and ask the thinking machine for the status of their trip. Our digital assistant will confirm pickup times and provide estimated times of arrival. The service will also offer cancellation options. Callers can provide their trip information, and the thinking machine will quickly cancel their trip. Soon, if the caller wants to add a new trip, they will be able to do the same thing with the thinking machine on one singular call. And we're very excited about these new features. They are coming early in the summer. After that, we plan to offer text messaging services as well, where you can text a certain number and the thinking machine will respond back to your text immediately. No waiting, no holding, no hoping for a response. It'll respond immediately. We hope to offer that for trip booking as well as for Where's My Ride. So I'd be happy to take your questions now.
Oh, so can I start first, Mr. Farmer? So I know several of us have been, as committee members, testing with the estimated time of arrival. What I have noticed is that, because I do pair it with find my ride, so mm-hmm. it is pretty accurate and sync with those other platforms. The only thing, when I was helping with other committee members begin to field test some of these features, is that my big question is, since we can see on our web application mm-hmm. after midnight for any particular trip of a day the estimated time of arrival, will that same digital system be able to offer at least the hour before, or can it? I know right now it does not do it until it gets closer to, until that window opens. Mm-hmm. But on one application, on my web application, I can see the estimated time of arrival, and it changes over time throughout the day after midnight. Can the digital system be able to do that same thing eventually?
So the short answer is yes, it can absolutely do that at some point. That's not going to be our initial rollout. As you know, it's a thinking machine, which means it learns customer behaviors and it morphs over time. To begin with the service, we are going to say it will provide a time, specific estimated time of arrival for trips that have begun, where the driver has performed that he's headed towards you. As soon as the driver sends that indication through the MDT, then it will tell you the estimated time of arrival. Or if that driver hasn't started, but your window is open, then it will provide for you, you know, your window times, right? It'll let you know if you're late, then it's going to transfer you over to an agent, you know, to see what other options are available for you. But the short answer is yes, we will eventually get there, but not in the first iteration.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Now, Mr. Farmer, just to remind you, we at 5:27, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hands up, and we have public comment period. So for this topic, how do you want to proceed with the hands? And we can take the hands, but they have to be related to this topic, and then we'll go into customer comment period right after.
So question, are all the hands AAC?
I have one member of the public and 4 AAC members.
Let's hear the 4 AAC. So let's hear the 4 AAC, and then we'll probably be up on public comment.
All right. Mr. Sheehan, we haven't heard from you, so I'll take you first.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Good and interesting meeting tonight. So I have a question regarding AI. I understand from just from reservationists and lots of people that it's doing a lot of hanging up on people, transferring them back to the agents, you know, in the middle of the call, all kinds of things. I also understand that you are taking and tracking these issues and studying why this is happening. Is this, am I correct on that first? And secondly, can we expect a report on what you found and whether the issues or defects have been fixed?
Okay, good afternoon. So Mr. Sheehan, let me answer your question this way. Every day we get a report of the disposition of every single call that comes in. And the thinking machine takes routinely thousands of calls a day. And so we go through, we start to look for trends and patterns of the disconnected calls, and we look to see where the call broke down. That detail is right there for us. As soon as we notice a trend, we escalate that to the thinking machine, its data analyst, and we ask them for solutions. So those things do take time, unfortunately, but we have a running list of those items, and they are working on all of them as they arise. And some of it comes down to end users. So what we've learned is there's an opportunity to educate the our customer base on how best to utilize the machine. So we have some plans in the works for Encapping to do that later this summer. So until then, you know, we'll continue to have some struggles with it. But by far, our resolution rate is really, really increasing, especially since we turned it back on Sunday. More and more people are deciding to try our thinking machine to get their trips booked, and more people are doing so. And you asked just, me and, a multiple layered question, so I might have missed something.
No, I think you've hit that you're doing the analysis and you're collecting the information. Paul, it might be an interesting topic to have a report on a Metro Access. What's going on with Tim? What are we seeing as far as defects? And are the defects being corrected and that sort of thing? Because I don't think we've ever tracked Tim
and that'll be good for our work plan as I work with Mr. Mm-hmm. Farmer on designing that for next month's meeting. So next we're going to do with Denise, Vanessa, followed by Doris. And then we're going to go into public comment. And Joyce, we saw your hand, but we'll Anu will take note of that. So she'll add you to the public comment speaking list when we start after these three other committee members. So Denise, mm-hmm. Vanessa, then Doris, and then we'll go with public comment period.
Thank you.
This is Ms. Fresh. It's great that we are being technically improved and issues and options for the users, but we cannot forget the people who don't have any of those disabilities. And will this mean that their service will be strengthened so they can just make a trip and that's all they can do? And they should not be forgotten. I just want to make sure that people who do not text, people who do not go online, they just applied for Metro Access and was approved, and that's the only ability they have. It's not going to get better. It is what it is. Make sure they are not left by the wayside, please. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'll just add a little bit to that. So over the last 3 years, we've partnered closely with the current vendor to improve the customer service skills of all of the agents that work in the call center. You know, I'm proud to say that we've seen the needle move positively in the customer service direction. Unfortunately, we are dealing with this period of transition right now. And soon, hopefully, we'll be beyond that. You know, by the end of this week or early next week, we'll be over that. But you can't expect and anticipate that when your call is answered, that every customer is entitled to our best possible service. And so we're committed to doing that just as much as we are to providing other options for customers. The goal is to get you exactly what you need every time, regardless of the method.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Audio
followed by Doris. So Vanessa, you're first, then Doris, and then we'll go into the public comment period.
Thank you. This is Vanessa again. My question with the AI is, or my concern, I'll say, most of the time, I have subscription trips. So when I get it, most of the time it's for a modification. So when it asks me if it's a new call, it kicks me out because I say no. Mm-hmm. But then my other concern is I also like to request Uber.
Alert.
So I don't see a comment area where I can do that so that, I mean, I would love to use it if I could include the fact that I would prefer Ubers.
So, Ms. Cole, you're absolutely right. So the system, if you do say no, if they ask you, are you calling to, I forget the first question, book a new trip, and your answer is no, it is not right now designed to modify existing trips. So they will say, let me get you to an agent. That is coming. That is coming. I want you to know that. That's coming. We're just trying to perfect piece by piece by piece, right? The other piece of that was with regard to requesting Uber. Since, you know, you could certainly add to the comments about Uber, I would like an Uber trip, but because it's a lottery, that language sometimes confuses the thinking machine, and it's going to think you want to book an Uber trip. And because it's not equipped to do that, it will likely then say, let me transfer you to an agent. So you're not obligated to put in that you would request you'd want an Uber trip in order to land with an Uber trip. As a matter of fact, I hope Mr. Blake is available. I don't know if that increases the likelihood that you would get one by putting that comment there, but it is a lottery. So, and the system is not yet
alert.
Working toward that, but we're not yet ready to process the Uber requests.
Okay. Yes, because I tried and no, it will not let. It won't let.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. Next is going to be Doris. And then at the end of Doris, we're going into a public comment period with the new, you're going to help with the list of people. Go ahead, Doris. 2 minutes.
I ghetto the comments.
Hands now raised. Press F6 to reach pop-up and alert. Hands now lowered.
Okay, go ahead, Doris.
Speech on demand.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Doris. My apologies. Everyone, please. One moment. Vanessa.
Please remember. Oh, go ahead.
Vanessa, please mute your device. Thank you very much. Doris, you have the floor. 2 minutes, please.
I ditto the comments by Mr. Sheehan, and I ditto and double ditto the comments from Ms. Rush. And then I suggest that as you're doing the AI and all of the rest of these technology changes, that you beta test the system with deaf consumers, especially deaf consumers, especially if somebody is going to be using something like video phone with Sorenson. And I suggest you beta test also with blind people as well. And the last thing is, I'd like to know, maybe not here tonight, but at a future meeting, are all of these systems and booking systems and all of that going to be compliant with the new ADA Title II regulations and standards on web content and mobile applications that are coming out in July?
Okay.
Thank you, Doris.
Yeah, thank you for making us aware of that. We'll make sure that it is. Could you just tell me the name of that one more time?
It's the Department of Justice ADA regulations on web content and mobile apps. And there is going to be actually a training on that from the Great Lakes ADA Center on this Thursday. To explain some of that, but I think we need to do beta testing, because I can see scenarios mm-hmm. where this might be problematic, at least at first, for deaf consumers for sure. And we've got to make sure that people who are talking to people or texting with people and their ASL native users and not English written literate, that we're communicating with them, because otherwise we'll have a lot of complaints.
Thank you, Doris.
And
thank
you, Doris. Just to add on to that, the effective date on that is June 24th, and it will go into effect. I mean, it goes into effect June 24th, and the enforcement date is 2 years from that.
All right. Thank you.
Doris,
we need to get to public comment. We have a lot of people.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying, watch out for the enforcement date.
Thank you.
It could be different for new systems.
Thank you. All right. We're at public comment period. So, Anu, present our list of people.
Thank you, Chairman Ford. I just want to state that anybody who is interested in making comments, you can raise your hands. If you're on phones, you can click, you can press *9 to raise your virtual hands. If you are on a video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon. I am going to go to members of the public in the order we received them. The first would be Alfred McKinley. You will have
to pause for just a second.
Sure.
I just want to make just a statement before you begin. We have a number of people tonight. Everyone wants to have an opportunity to be heard. Respect the person after you. So when you make your comment, as I said before, and I'll say it again, be concise. Make your comment. You may not get a response tonight. It may require investigation. Consider that. Consider the other people around you. Respect is what we're talking about here today. 2 minutes is your time. We will not have the opportunity to go back and forth.
Thank you, Mr. Farmer. Before I move on, Mr. Farmer, Mr. Blake has raised his hand. Mr. Blake, are you trying to make some comments? Go ahead, please.
No, I'm not sure which account that is. That's
I see. It says Chris Blake with the hand up.
Yeah, that's not me, though.
All right, so let's go with the first person.
All right, so next first person would be Alfreda McKinley. She had emailed us. I spoke with her today earlier in the day. She had joined earlier, and she was the one trying to make some comments. And mm-hmm. so she would be the first person, followed by Heidi Case. Third person would be Joyce, and then Deborah's iPad. Deborah. So
thank you very much,
Ms. McKinley. When you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Okay. Thank you. First of all, I want to thank all of you all for affording me the opportunity to do Metro Access. I can't drive anymore because of my seizures. Uber is exceptional, but I'm going to ask you all to check it out because Uber is getting paid for rides that they're not doing. In addition to that, I also want to thank you all of the employees have excellent customer service skills. And I truly appreciate that. But also, as far as the automated system, I have figured out how to do more than one trip, going to different places, like two, about three or four trips a day. And what I found out is that if I do one trip, then when they ask you about another, do your next trip instead of saying I'm going to do a round trip, put your other trip in. When they ask you again, put your other trip in. Then by the time you get to your round trip to go back to your initial destination, that question will automatically come up. So thank you for Metro Access, and please check out Uber and the fact that they are not completing trips the way they're supposed to, but somebody is getting paid. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKinley.
Okay, thank you, Ms. McKinley. Next would be Heidi Case. Heidi, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Heidi.
Hello, everybody. Quite an interesting meeting. Totally different topic, Mr. Blake. I had positive experiences with the ADA vehicles and the red line shuttles all up down there. So I wanted to share that quick response for the most part. But today, when an elevator outage forced me to need a shuttle, they have none and they won't send any. I was sent from one to another station and they told me to go to Shaw. I went there and they called. Neither station was able to get anyone to agree. They say they have no shuttles. And I want to say your ADA responsibility for equitable service when elevator outages is still in place. And last quick question, if I ever get to hear the answer, is Abilities Ride taxis and Uber still happening after July 1st? Thank
yes,
you.
Ma'am. So the answer is yes on the second and the first. Very important issue. You know, we together, you with the AAC, tackle that issue. So I will follow up with my colleagues. That's not really in my jurisdiction at the moment. But as I always say, accessibility is everybody's job. You brought it to my attention. we're going to make sure they don't forget about the varying resources we made available for elevator shuttle outages.
Heidi Case, this is Barbara Millville, Ombudsperson for People with Disabilities. You and I can chat at your convenience about the elevator issue. I'm happy to help.
Okay, awesome.
And I want to address Doris Ray's comment about the new law that's coming and effective date about 2 years. We are definitely aware of that on top of it.
Thank you, Ms. Millville.
Thank you. Next person is Joyce. Joyce, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
All right. Thank you. Good evening. My name is Joyce Brooks. I had the A lady do something to me that was pretty weird. She had me down as a threat. When I called to check on my ride, and all I said to the A lady was that I needed an agent because she did not book my second trip. So when I called and got all that straightened out, and the lady said, I think I need to change something, Miss Brooks. And I said, what is that? They have you down as a threat. Can you tell me what that's all about? I'm not a threat.
The digital assistant called you a threat?
Yes. And the lady told me when I called back to verify, you doing, Miss Blake? When I called to verify my trip, she said, Miss Brooks, they have you down as a threat. I said, I didn't cuss. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Well, we're going to follow up on that call. I know we can go back and check, but I must say, Ms. Brooks, now you made history. You know, everybody's saying AI is a threat to humanity. Now the AI is scared of you, so you're powerful.
Right,
so we're going to check on that and follow up. I think there may have been, it may have said something similar to that, but trust me, we don't feel you're a threat. And I know I owe you a phone call, and I deeply apologize for not calling. You know how busy I was last week. But we're going to follow up on that. And if you ever have any problems, you know, just call us. But we'll check to see what's going on with that particular interaction.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys doing a great job.
Thank you.
Ms. Brooks, Mr. Blake, Anu.
Okay, thank you. So next would be Deborah. Deborah, when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Okay, hang on a minute. I'm not sure if I'm dealing with technical. Okay.
Can hear you, and we can see you.
Okay, hi. All right, I'm Deborah Dunaway. I live in Gaithersburg area. I wrote a whole lot in the chat. I think the biggest problem is technology creating lack of communication so that I, who do abilities ride, know what's going on. Like, for example, Action Taxi will send something to my phone in a text and say, by the way, we're picking you up or whatever. But I've got to call into Metro a lot of times to find out even what I'm getting or not. And then the other big problem is that I'll find myself stranded if I don't have things set up a certain way ahead of time. I'll find myself stranded, because if you all send me a taxi cab and they're sending their calls now to call centers overseas, and that's Barwood Regency, then I'm pretty messed up because I don't know really what's going on. And then a lot of times I can't get another ride for an hour and a half if something doesn't work out right with that. So that's, I don't know. That's the kind of bigger thing, aside from things people said about calling in and dealing with Tim and all that. Since I have 20 seconds left, I'll just say one time an Uber went the wrong way because there were too many North Washington streets. And when we went the way we were supposed to and I called into Metro Access, they said, just keep going. Whatever you do, don't stop the ride because you're in an Uber. Just go where you need to go. And they'll pay for it. They'll pay the Uber driver for it. So I just wanted you all to know that.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dunaway. I haven't heard from you in a while, but I know you've been working with the leadership team of the OCC. We have some things that we're going to be trying to bring on board soon that's much more direct with you and other customers and in all the varying different services we're trying to bring to bear. So you'll be hearing from us, maybe not me directly. I know how you feel about me on some nights because I haven't heard from you. We miss you, but keep sharing your feedback. You're one of the Abilities Ride Riders who we rely on. So thank you for that feedback, and you'll be hearing more from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anu, do we have anyone else?
At this point, we do not have any additional hands up.
What time do we have?
It's 5:50.
Mr. Blake, I hope next month we get to maybe meet. And I do want to thank Elise here for the people who are calling in, the leadership of, there's been some outstanding agents, you know, people at the call center from both the leadership level and at reservations and at Where's My Ride, you know, who's done a phenomenal job. So we want to give kudos to those people. But as we transition in, and wish them luck in whatever endeavor, you know, they do, you know, and they've been doing a great job over the years. But we also would like, Mr. Blake, if maybe if it's possible or not too soon in July, you can introduce us to some, maybe the new leadership that's coming to take over the call center at the next meeting and have
absolutely. They're definitely going to be here, and we'll have them on the meeting, and it's going to be their job to attend all these meetings as the current contractor has done for the number of years. But they'll be not just attending, they'll be speaking, introduce themselves to you and sharing with you some of their approaches, their ideas, their tools that they want to put in the hands of customers. And we'll certainly allow that frank and open discussion to take place between yourself, the members of the committee, and the new contractor.
Only because we don't have an August meeting, and that will be a very important bridge to do before we break for this for at least 1 month.
Mr. Summer, sorry, Mr. Blake, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mr.
Blake. No, I was just going to say, you got to get me ready before my August surprise, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Anu, we have our end of meeting where... Yes, ma'am.
Actually, Sandy Newsel had intended to make public comments. Sandy, apologies. I forgot to add your name. Please go ahead.
We have a moment. Sandy?
Okay, good afternoon. I heard it mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, but this is from a different source, a person asking me when a Metro Access user passes away, dies, family members have their card, and the person who was asking me what happens because he's aware that a family member is illegally using the Metro Access card number and services under the auspices of the person who passed away. Now, I realize that a Metro Access card has to be renewed after 3 years or so. What is Metro's policy on trying to double check? Is there any way to confirm, you know, to make sure that this doesn't happen in the future, that cards aren't used by family members incorrectly?
Ms. Hall?
So you're right. There is the recertification process. Now, when you're talking about utilizing their card, if you're talking about fraudulently utilizing it on a fixed route, that could be a challenge because part of what we did, even though the ID is on there, and part of what we've done in listening to this committee and just the right thing to do in terms of advocates for independence and the integrity and just the freedom of people with disabilities, we made the Metro Access cards smart trip cards for those who are conditionally eligible and they can utilize fixed route without any interference, if you will, from a member of the Metro staff. That was a direct recommendation of this committee, and then we thought it was the right thing, and we still believe in that despite potential challenges. Do we follow up on it? You know, do we get up every day and look at the obituary section of papers and look for things? No, we're not doing that. If the person does try to use Metro Access, the operators are required to check their ID, and that would be the most direct way. But if you're saying this person is utilizing the card of a family member fraudulently to access our bus and rail service, only thing we can do is ask customers who, and people in the public in general who know these things are occurring, to let us know so we can simply disable the card. But there is no law enforcement effort at Metro Access underway in terms of tracking down every single user and making sure he or she is still alive. We generally rely on their use of the service to check their ID or the recertification process.
So can I just follow up very quickly? So if a public person or somebody on the AAC reports such a situation, would that be anonymous? That would not get back directly to the person who was using the card fraudulently?
Absolutely. The only thing we would do is disable the card. And the most that the other person would do is check to see why the card isn't working. But we won't. We don't need to tell anything about why the card has been disabled. You just disable the card and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
This is
Mr. Blake.
This is Barbara Sam. Millville again, curly brown hair, ombudsperson for people with disabilities. I'm a Metro Access user myself. I am actually logged in now. I wanted to remind people that there's a section in there called Trips Scheduled. And by logging in, you can actually see where you're, if you've booked a trip and you're not sure what you booked, you didn't for some reason listen to the voicemail message the night before, you can go in there and see all your current trips that you have booked and the history, and it will tell you exactly the things, to and from addresses, your fare that's to be paid by you, the mobility aids you're using, your cell phone number, booking ID, pickup window, and so forth. So you may not need to actually call in and possibly get the long hold time.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
One last announcement, Antoine. As we get closer to the end of June, just a reminder, with that new fare change of up to $4.50, wonderful Metro Access management staff, I will be glancing at the wonderful website and making sure that information is updated to the $4.50 where it says $4 before July 1st, or just announcing it so people are not surprised as they glance to the website or hear it on the IVR. I know you put it up front, the IVR announcement, but just looking deeper into it, you know, all that type of stuff, just making sure every place it can be updated, so people are not surprised about the increase in fares, even though I'm sure it's been well publicized. That's my public announcement.
Thank you, Paul.
So, Anu, we have just a few minutes and we need to get out the announcement for next month's meeting. Anybody who wishes to make any other comments by email, provide that for them. What do you have for us, Anu?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Farmer. Any members of the public who would like to make public comments before or after the meeting, you can email us at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Mr. Farmer, that concludes my announcement.
And Mr. Farmer did a great job today. Let's give him a round
of
applause.
Can I get a motion to, thank you. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Is there a way to get a copy of the chat of any of these?
Is that possible?
I can try. The audio is going to be posted on our website tomorrow.
I can. It's the chat box because people put in important comments there, and sometimes, you know.
Okay. No, I knew you were making a comment on whether or not that's possible.
I can attempt, but how would you like a copy of the chat, Deborah? Emailed to you?
Yeah. If you could, because then if there's a topic I miss or something, because I come in late.
If you would send an email so that you have your email address, and I'll attempt to.
Okay, sure. All right. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Okay. Thanks.
No, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
May I get a second?
There's no second. So moved.
Seconds required. Okay, then. Then we are done.
Good night, everybody.
The meeting is adjourned.
Good night.